Again, as was mentioned earlier, it is good to be here, and it's good to see everyone here tonight. We always invite anyone who's online that is listening to be here in person to get the encouragement and to encourage one another. I do want to say, if you are listening and you have young kids, I urge you to bring them on Sunday nights, because these little kids really are learning a lot, and they're an inspiration to all of us. And so I encourage you to bring your young kids all the time, but especially on Sunday nights with this little kids class. Matt had a really good lesson this morning, and I'm always nervous when I preach that someone's going to preach the same sermon I'm going to preach. And unlike Matt and Robert, I'm not as quick on my feet. I probably would have to pass it on to someone else, but it kind of goes along with the lesson I have tonight. But it is true, we cannot force anyone to become a Christian. We cannot force anyone to obey the gospel. And we cannot pass any laws that are going to make anyone become a Christian. But it is frustrating for us as Christians to see laws that are passed that go against God's will. It is frustrating to see people living in sin. And this month of June is known around the world as Pride Month. And this is the time where people celebrate homosexuality. And that's frustrating, and it's discouraging, and it's sad to see our world recognizing things that are sin as things that are right. So this evening I want us to look at the sin of homosexuality. I want us to look at, is this really a sin? Is this something that is wrong? And why is it wrong? And I want us to also look at, what are we as Christians doing about this? What are we preaching and teaching things that are right? So the question is homosexuality wrong? Is it a sin? Well, I think all of us here would agree that obviously homosexuality is a sin. Why is it a sin? Why is homosexuality a sin? Well, for us it's easy, because God said so, right? God said so in the Bible, and these couple verses in Leviticus 20, verse 13, it says, if there is a man who sleeps with a male as those who sleep with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act, they must be put to death. They have brought their own deaths upon themselves. In 1 Timothy 1:10, it says, but we know that God, the law is good, if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious. For the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and the worldly, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexual immorals, homosexuals, slave traders, liars, perjurers, and whatever is contrary to sound teaching according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. And in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, it says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral or idolaters or adulterers or homosexuals nor thieves nor greedy nor those habitually drunk nor verbal abusers or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. For us as Christians, we read the Bible and we see that homosexuality is a sin, because God has told us over and over in Scripture that homosexuality is a sin. It's said in the beginning of the Scriptures and the beginning in Leviticus, and it goes all the way through the end of the Bible. And God's consistent that this is a sin. But for the world, they don't really recognize God's truth. People do not take God's word and accept it as the absolute truth. And oftentimes people question God's decisions. They question why God has made something wrong or made something right. Or why has God told us that we have to do this or do that. And so oftentimes we ask ourselves, well, why has God made it this way? Why has God made it that way? So why has God made homosexuality wrong? And for us as Christians, it's easy for us to accept when God says that something's wrong, that we should just accept that it's wrong because God has said so. Because He's the creator of the world. He's almighty, all-knowing. And He has told us that it's wrong, and we should not question it. But people oftentimes question, why is homosexuality wrong? Well, I'm going to attempt to explain why I believe that God has deemed homosexuality wrong. And so if you're listening, don't take it to the bank. Don't just say that I've said this, so this is right. But this is just kind of what, in my thoughts, and what I have read from Scripture to believe why homosexuality is wrong, why God has deemed homosexuality wrong. We look in the beginning of the Bible, and you know, God created everything in the world, and He looked over everything, and he said that it looked good. And then when He looked over at man, He said it looked real good. And when God saw Adam, and He saw that he needed a companionship. And so when God saw that, He brought all the animals to Adam. And there Adam named all the animals. And God brought all the animals to see if any one of these would be a helpmate, to be a companion for Adam. But as we know that, none of these were a companion for Adam. And so what did God do? God made Eve. And God, the creator of the world, the one who just got through 6 days creating everything that we see, if God saw fit that for Adam, his companionship could be another man, another Adam, He could have easily made another man, right? I mean, it wasn't like they ran out of dirt, but He didn't, because God had a plan. In God's infinite wisdom, He created woman. Not only that, but He created woman specifically for Adam. When we read it in Genesis 1:28, God said for Adam and Eve that they were to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, to subdue it. And then after the flood, when Noah and his family got out of the ark, He told Noah the same thing. He said for them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. This was God's design for us as humans, that we would be fruitful and multiply. And so it's sad that I have to say this, but the fact is that it is biologically impossible for two men or two women to be fruitful and multiply. You know, and this was to be done in the bonds of marriage, as we know. And so marriage, the only marriage that God has given us that is recognized by God in the Scriptures, is between a man and woman. And so for those who, it's crazy enough to think that people think that there is a way to be fruitful and multiply with the same sex, it is biologically impossible. And we read in Genesis 2:24 that this was essentially the first marriage between Adam and Eve. And God told them that they were to leave behind their father and mother and cling to one another, to cling to His wife. And so, not going into great detail, but God also gave us desires for the opposite sex. I believe that God has made us naturally to have a desire for the opposite sex. And this is nothing that is new, and this is natural for us to have it. We have sexual desires for the opposite sex. And men, we have strong sexual desires for the opposite sex. And I believe that this is natural, that this is God-given for us. Now, we know that we cannot act upon this unless we are acting in the way that God has given us, which is in the bonds of marriage. But we have this natural attraction, this natural desire for the opposite sex. And it's natural and it's good. And this is something that God has given us. And the same thing with women. Women have a natural sexual desire for men. And this is natural and this is good because this is something that God has given us. And so we think about this as being natural. We think on Romans, in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, where it says, "For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for women exchanging natural relations for that which is contrary to nature. And likewise men too abandoned natural relations with women, and burned in their desire towards other another, male with males committing shameful acts and receiving their own persons the due penalty of error." And so we know that homosexuality is just not natural. It's not natural for someone to have a desire for the opposite sex, because that is not how God made us. And so what does it mean when it's not natural? Well, it just means that this is not God's design for us. God did not design men to have desires for men. God did not design women to have desires for women. God designed us specifically in a certain way that we are to have desires for the opposite sex. And so to sum up my whole explanation, I believe homosexuality is wrong, that God has deemed homosexuality wrong because it just wasn't part of His design when He created us. And anything that is not part of God's design is wrong. And so we know that homosexuality is wrong because God says so, and that it's just not part of God's design for us. So the question is, well, why is homosexuality so common in our world today? Well, this is nothing new in our society. In fact, we go back all the way through the beginning of the Bible. We read that in the days of Noah that there was no one that was righteous. In fact, only eight people were deemed that were righteous, that were saved. And you think about all those people. You think there might have been a couple thousand people. Who knows at this time about the earth. But you think eight people in the world that are only righteous. And a lot of times, you know, we look at ourselves as Christians and we think that, you know, we're a small minority when it comes to our ideas on homosexuality. But you got to think about in times past that they had it more difficult than we did. But why is homosexuality so common in today's world? Well, the devil, Satan. Satan is tricky, he is cunning, and he is conniving. He convinces people that things that are right as that is wrong, and he convinces us that things are that are wrong are right. In John 8:44, it says, "You are the father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand with the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies." The devil uses so many different things, so many different people to trick and to con people to thinking that they are doing right. And some of these things that he influences, he uses social media and he uses people's influence. A lot of our younger kids are exposed to so many things in the world, so many things that maybe we weren't all exposed to when we were young. With social media and young kids being able to see maybe people that they look up to, and they see them on social media, and they look at them and their ideas, and maybe they think that those ideas are right. And people have such an influence, especially on our young kids, and at a young age. There are psychologists out there that will tell you that homosexuality is something that is hereditary, that it's something that is in their genes, that it's just who they are. Well, we know that this is false teaching right here, because we know that we're not born into sin. And sadly, a lot of parents nowadays are not teaching their kids the Scripture at a young age. A lot of parents do not take the time to teach their kids what is right and what is wrong. We have to start teaching our kids at an early age the Scriptures, what is right and what is wrong. Because if we don't teach our kids what's right and what's wrong at an early age, whenever they go to school and whenever they get out in the world, they're going to learn it, and they're going to learn it from somebody else. And unfortunately, they're probably not going to learn something that's right. They're going to learn things from their peers, from teachers, from other people in the world that are going to teach them wrong. We as parents, we got to teach our kids at a young age the Scriptures. And we have to teach our kids that there is a right and there is a wrong. Unfortunately, we have to teach our kids at a young age that if you were born a male, it is not by mistake that you're a male. And if you are born a girl, it's no mistake that you are born a girl. It is God's design for you to be that way. And there is no such thing as not having the right gender. Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he grows older, he would not abandon it." We have to teach our young kids at a young age that there are things that are right and things that are wrong in this world. And we have to teach them Scriptures and teach them that God has told us that these things are wrong. I also believe that it also falls on us as Christians. I believe that more and more as time goes on, it's unfortunate to see and hear of people who claim to be Christians, claim to know Scripture, that they become more and more relaxed with this sin. In fact, there are people that no longer teach homosexuality is wrong. There are preachers and teachers that are even homosexuals that are in church preaching these things. And it's sad. And so, and in our day and age, it is kind of hard for us to stand up for the truth, but it's something that we just don't do very good. It's we don't stand up for the truth like we should. We don't teach like we should. And more importantly, as Matt preached this morning, we don't always teach it the right way when it comes, especially when it comes to the subject. But oftentimes we don't teach and preach the way that we should in the world. So the question is, how are we to go about teaching about homosexuality? How are we to go about explaining to those that this is a sin, that this is something that God has deemed wrong? I believe that, like with anybody trying to convert someone to the gospel, we need to start out slow. We need to be patient. And we have to build friendship and trust with people if we're going to reach them with the gospel. If we just go at them full force with the gospel, telling them exactly word for word from Scripture that this is a sin, that this is what God has said, that if you are living in this, that you're going to hell. If we preach that to people, we're never going to be able to reach people. We're never going to be able to reach the lost if all we're preaching to them is you're doing wrong and you're going to hell. And Jesus is our example when it comes to this. You remember Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well? The Samaritans were looked down as the scum of the earth by the Jews, and especially a Samaritan woman. But Jesus saw this woman and he talked to her about him, about the coming of Christ. And he told her that you should go tell your husband. And she said, well, I have multiple husbands. And she said, that's right. Jesus could have easily looked at her and said, you are a very sinful person. You're a bad person. You don't need to be in my presence. Go away. But Jesus took the time to talk to this woman. And we think about Jesus and the adulterous woman in John. And it says that that the Pharisees brought this woman in front of the courtyards to Jesus, saying that this woman had committed adultery. What should we do? Should we stone her? And Jesus was kneeling on the ground, just writing. And they approached him even more about this. And Jesus looked up and asked them. He said, whoever has no sin, let him cast the first stone. And eventually, one by one, they all walked away. And it was Jesus and this woman left by themselves. And Jesus asked them, has no one condemned you? She said, no, no one's condemned you. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go on and sin no more. Jesus could have looked at this woman and said, you are a wicked woman, to get out of my presence. But no, Jesus looked at her with compassion. Jesus looked at her as a creation that was part of God's creation and looked at her as someone that needed to hear the gospel. In Matthew 9, verse 36, it says, Jesus looked over the crowd and he had compassion over them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. If we had the same attitude as Jesus, we'd look at people in the world, no matter what sin people are living in or no matter what their situation, if we look at them like Jesus looks at them with compassion, with love, we would be able to reach so many more people with the gospel. But unfortunately, a lot of times we like to look down on people. We look at this sin of homosexuality and those who are in this sin, we look at them like the scum of the earth. And we're so quick to judge them and condemn them to hell. And this is such the wrong attitude that we should have. Yes, it is wrong. Yes, if they do live this lifestyle that God has told us that they will end up in hell. But if that's all that we teach them, if that's all that they get from us, then they're never going to obey the gospel. They're never going to want to come to the Lord. But we're to be like Jesus. We need to have compassion and love and look at that person like Jesus looks at us, because we too are sinners. We too have been lost. We too have been forgiven. We must preach God's love to these people if we're going to reach these people. We need to preach God's love and God's forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, it says, for this reason, I bend my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, what is the length, the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the fullness of God. In John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, it says, "By this is love of God, it was revealed in us, that God has sent us His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and He sent us His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." We need to be out teaching people the love of God, that God gave us His Son to live in this world and to be crucified for our sins, because He loved us so much that He wants us to be with Him forever in heaven. And we too need to share that love with others, and we ought to love one another as well. So we need to preach God's love. We also need to preach God's forgiveness. Colossians 1, verses 13 through 15, it says, "For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." In Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, so that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And in Acts 10:43, it says, "All the prophets testify of Him, that through His name, everyone who believes in Him will receive forgiveness of sin." We need to preach forgiveness of sins, especially when we're preaching and teaching to those who are homosexuals, because a lot of those who are homosexuals often think that this is just who they are, that this is something that they can't change, or that God cannot or will not forgive them. But we know that there is nothing that God can forgive us. There is nothing that God cannot and will not forgive us for. And we see that example through Scripture and Saul and Paul. Remember Saul, he was called himself the chief of sinners many occasions. Saul used to basically be a murderer. But Paul was touched by the gospel. He heard the gospel. And Paul obeyed the gospel and became one of the greatest teachers and preachers of his time. We must preach God's love and God's forgiveness. We need to make sure that everyone that we teach, no matter what sin they're in, that God can forgive you. And God will forgive you if you come to Him in simple trust and faith. We also need to teach that you're not born into the sin. We need to teach the when we go about teaching homosexuality, we need to teach people that they're not born into sin. Because so many people that will tell you that those who are homosexual, they were just born that way. But we know that this is to be false and that this is not right. James 1:13-15, it says that no one is to say when he is tempted, "I'm being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it has run its course, brings forth death. If you believe that God is real, and you believe in God's Word that it is real, how could you say that God has designed us, when He made us, to be sinful? It's just far from the truth, and we have to express that no one is born into sin. Homosexuality is a sin, and it's wrong because God said so. And it does not matter what our society says. It does not matter what people of the world will say. We know that homosexuality is wrong because God has said so. And homosexuality is unnatural, because it's not part of God's design for us. And those who live this lifestyle, If they do not change, unfortunately, they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And that is coming from God, not from me or anyone else. And if it were to end right there, it would be sad. But God loves us. God loves you. And God can and God will forgive you of your sins. And He can and He will save you. No matter what sin you're in, no matter what sin that you may be enticed with, God can forgive you and God can save you. And there is no temptation that God cannot help you overcome. And there is no temptation that any of us deal with on a daily basis that God cannot help us through. So as we as Christians, we have to be courage, have the courage, to have the boldness to stand up for the truth, no matter what it means. We have to teach our children at a young age the scriptures and God's authority if they are going to follow God's word. And we must teach this in the right way. We cannot be condemning. We cannot be looking at them with a judgmental attitude. We have to teach God's love and God's forgiveness if we are going to reach these people. And this goes for anyone that is lost, anyone that is not a Christian. We need to teach them the love of God, teach them God's forgiveness so that they can come to know God and be forgiven of their sins and be saved. Tonight we've not talked about becoming a Christian. But tonight if you're here and you're not a Christian, the same thing applies to you, and that is God loves you and God can and will forgive you and save you if you come to Him with obedience. Come to Him realizing that you are lost. Come to Him and realizing that it is only through Him that you can be saved. Tonight, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.